But the United Nations Security Council puts its unanimous weight behind a resolution that outlines a peace plan for the war-ravaged Syria. The initiative, brokered by the United States and Russia, seeks to bring the Syrian government and the opposition to the negotiating table and enforce a ceasefire. The plan has opened up prospects of ending the devastating war in Syria. However, major players still remain at loggerheads over certain key points. Well, joining us to discuss about this, we have Ryan Dawson, a political commentator, joining us, I believe, from Japan.
Yes, sir.
Put this draft resolution to a vote now. Will those in favor of the draft resolution contained in document S/2015/996 please raise their hand? The result of the voting is clear. It is the draft resolution has received 15 votes in favor, and therefore the draft resolution has been adopted unanimously as resolution 2254 of 2015.
The roadmap calls for formal negotiations on transition between the Syrian government and opposition groups and a rapid nationwide ceasefire to be launched perhaps as early as next month. The plan emphasizes that terrorist groups like Daesh, which is in control of considerable territory in Syria, will have no place in the talks. It also makes it clear that only the Syrian people will determine the future of their country.
Fundamental principles of a political solution have been determined. Syria has to stay a united, secular, multi-faith, and multi-ethnic state, comfortable and safe for all inhabitant groups. And only Syrian people themselves have a right to determine their future. This is a clear answer to the attempts to impose decisions from outside on Syrian people.
Under the resolution approved today, the purpose of those negotiations between the responsible opposition and the government is to facilitate a transition within Syria to a credible, inclusive, non-sectarian governance within 6 months. The process would lead to the drafting of a new constitution and arrangements for internationally supervised election within 18 months. It also brings fundamental values and principles that can guide the shaping of Syria by Syrians for Syrians.
Although the top body gave the thumbs up to the peace process, there are still sharp differences between the key players. The U.S., Britain, and France called for the departure of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, claiming he has no ability to lead the country. But Russia and China reject the idea that makes Assad's removal from power a precondition for talks. Syrian Ambassador to the U.N. Bashar al-Jaafari has welcomed the adoption of the resolution by the 15-nation council, saying that all Syrians must take part in a comprehensive political process to decide their own fate.
And all Syrians have to put ahead of them that the solution can only be a Syrian solution through a comprehensive political process that responds to the legitimate aspirations of the Syrian people through the national dialogue, which brings all under the umbrella of the state in order to establish a secular, pluralistic state where all are equal before the law.
Jaafari emphasized that the Damascus government will not engage in any talks with terrorist groups like Daesh and al-Nusra Front. The diplomat noted that Damascus does not need hollow alliances by some countries that support terrorist groups in practice. Almost 5 years of a brutal conflict has left a trail of death and destruction in Syria. More than 250,000 people have been killed and millions uprooted from their motherland. UN Chief Ban Ki-moon says the Security Council's latest resolution is the first resolution to focus on the political path to resolving the Syria crisis. But will this end Syrian suffering and bring back peace and security to Syria? Only time will tell.
Well, further to this package, let me bring in Ryan Dawson, a political commentator, joining us from Japan. Brian, it's good to have you on Top 5 here on Press TV. Now, given the circumstances that we are aware of, and in late November it was that an initial resolution was adopted at the UN, and what happened yesterday, can it be said that finally and ultimately a viable and workable international consensus is really being achieved in terms of fighting Daesh?
No, not really. It is a step forward in that now they've always been saying for 4 years that Assad must go, Assad must go. And under these conditions, the Syrian people, if they really are sincere about what they said and saying that the Syrian people get to decide, they could reelect Bashar al-Assad willingly. But that really doesn't resolve the problem of ISIS. These are just talking to the parties who've already been fighting against the terrorists the entire time. If they're not willing to take steps to clamp down on ISIL, if they're not willing to stop aiding them through Turkey and Saudi Arabia, then they're not really sincere about this. Saudi Arabia is continuing to butcher Yemen, and the United States and Western allies are supplying them with weapons. And so you can't really see them being genuine in fighting a war on terrorism. They started the war on terrorism after 9/11. It wasn't based on principle. It was based on a reactionary kind of political knee-jerk reaction, as Bashar al-Assad said. I don't see them being sincere in this at all. If ISIL's not at the table in these negotiations, then what incentive do they have to behave or go along with it? You still have to stop ISIL, and they're not taking the steps that they need to contain them, to cut off their money, to cut off their guns, and to stop this blatant support from Turkey and other Gulf states.
But Ryan, broadening the spectrum of the international participants in this conference, let alone the intentions or the hidden agendas, can it not be argued that right now Iran is a participant in these talks, and this in and by itself, as an example, can possibly mean the broadening of the spectrum of the topics as well, in which one of them is definitely accepting the legitimacy of the Bashar al-Assad government and incorporating the sovereign government of Assad in any possible solution to the crisis there. Isn't it so?
That is true. That is true. And that is certainly so with Iran and Russia as well. Russia has its own interest in fighting Chechen terrorists that have joined up with ISIL. And so there are incentives for these nations to do that. And that certainly is true. However, until the question of ISIS is addressed, that's the real elephant in the room. These Western nations, their own DIA report from the United States admitted that they were funding al-Qaeda. That has to stop, or it's just going to be another conflict in a new place down the road. They're not really interested in resolving these conflicts. As you said, there are hidden agendas, or alluded to, and that's going to continue. It just makes too much money for too many people, and we really have to make this a key issue in the American presidential debates, because America really leads the UN.
Well, we're going to leave, Ryan, and thank you for your time and comments.